Okay, get Colossians chapter number 1. What I'm going to do with you is we're going to run verses. I have in my hand the Contemporary Parallel New Testament, 8 translations. And we're going to see if all these translations, there's 8 of them, do they all say the same thing? Okay? And the answer is no, right? They don't all say the same thing. Some do, some match up, but from which side of the board? Alexander, left or right?
Left.
Always on the left, okay? All right, what did I tell you? Colossians chapter number 1, we did this a couple of... No, Alexander is on your left.
On its left.
On your left. It's on your left. It's on my left. Hey, nobody said anything about Rick's words being pure. Okay, Colossians chapter number 1. And I see that. And that's okay. On my sheet up here, it's on my left.
It's on our right.
No. My right. My right. I'm sorry. See, I got... Forget about it. Forget about it. Okay, Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 14. Boy, you guys, if we don't get going, I'll never get done. Colossians 1 and verse number 14. You have the King James Bibles, right? All right. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Does that say the same thing? God has purchased our freedom with His blood and forgiven us our sins. Okay. He bought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Who forgives our sins and sets us free. Oh, I know what I was going to do. I was going to tell you. These 8 translations, one's the King James, then the New American Standard Bible, the New Century Version, the Contemporary English Version, which, by the way, that's the Reformer Bible now. Hank Hanegraaff and those boys use that Bible. Okay, the NIV, the New Living Translations, the New King James Version, and then the Message. So when you hear these difference, I'm not reading King James. That's your job. Okay, but I'm going to read the other ones. Come over with me to Mark. By the way, how are our sins forgiven? Through the blood. The other versions don't have the blood in it, so guess what? You're not forgiven. Okay? All right, Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. And I pace when I'm nervous, so I'm not really nervous, but... Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Mark 1. Verse 2. I'm sorry, 1-2. Thank you. Mark, I know where I'm going. Y'all don't know? Come on now. Mark 1, verse 2. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every one of them has the prophet of Isaiah, except for the New King James, and it says, as is written in the prophets, with a footnote that says, the Alexandrian text line should read Isaiah the prophet. Okay? So let me ask you something. Where's the quote in Mark 1, 2, and 3? Where's that first quote from? From Malachi, right? Not from Isaiah. Right? The Isaiah is the next quote. So that means I got to run now to Malachi and find this quote in it, right? And it's not there, is it?
The first verse,
I got to run to Isaiah. Because it's in Malachi, it's not where? In Isaiah. We have a problem, don't we? They don't say the same thing. Mark chapter number 7. You're in Mark. Mark chapter number 7. We're just running verses. I'm reading English to English. We're not debating Greek. We're not debating the equivalent dynamic translation method. We're not debating any of that. We're just reading English to English. Verse with verse. Mark 7 and verse number 19. Mark 7 and 19. Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated. Thus he declared, and here it is, all foods clean. Let me ask you, the NIV. I'm sorry, the New American Standard Bible. The NIV, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. New King James, thus purifying all foods. Let me ask you something. When Jesus Christ did this, did he violate the Levitical law according to the new Bibles? Yes, he did. Because the Levitical law has what? Clean and unclean. And he just made all what? Clean. In the new Bibles. They don't say the same thing, do they? They're different. Come over with me. Get Mark 3. And get Matthew chapter 5. You got to get 2. Matthew 5:22 with Mark 3 and verse number 5. Now let me say, as you're doing that and as you're listening, Matthew 5 and Mark 3, that you pick some verses that you have and some verses that you like and use them with people. I don't use all 60 of these. I only have a few, and by the time I'm done with my few five, then my top five, they don't like me and they've walked away and they don't argue with me no more. Okay? Or they're like, hey, I'd like to know more, and we sit down and have a discussion. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. What's missing? But if I say, if you are angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. Okay? What's missing? Now watch Mark 3 and verse number 5. And when he looked round about on them with anger, right? Okay? NIV, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and he said, and on he goes. Did the Lord get angry without a cause there? But the new Bibles leave out that without a cause. Show him just getting angry. And if you go back and read Matthew 5, if you're angry without a cause, you're worthy of what? The judgment. They just put the Lord Jesus Christ in jeopardy of being judged. Is he the judge or the judge? Is he doing the judging or being judged? He's going to be doing it. The new Bibles mess it up. Come over to Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and earth and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth to men on whom his favor rests. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors. Is he pleased with men? Does man find his favor? The new Bibles teach that you do. You do have favor with God. Chapter 20, verse 22. We saw this one yesterday. Luke 2:22. And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, when the time of their purification, then it was the time for the purification. Then did the Lord need to be purified?
No.
Not at all. How about verse 33? His father and mother were amazed at the things which were said about him. The child's father and mother marveled. Verse 33. Luke 2:33. Joseph and Mary were amazed at. Jesus' father and mother were amazed. And Joseph and his mother. Jesus' parents were surprised at. Jesus' father. Who was Jesus' father? Wasn't Joseph, was it? These guys all have Joseph. No virgin birth. It's gone. Attack the deity. Come over to John chapter 3 and verse number 13. John 3:13. I'm trying to go slow. Got a lot to go. John 3:13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. What's missing? So where is the Son of Man right now? Where is he? Well, where is he? The verse in your King James tells you he's in heaven. The new books say, uh-uh. So where is he? He's in the grave. That's the NIV. But they all say it. They all say it. And the New King James footnotes it that it shouldn't be there. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Doesn't matter where the angels are, where is the Son of Man? Where is he?
In that verse.
He's in the grave. He's not there. He's not walking amongst them in John 3, is he? That's his earthly ministry. See, they don't say the same thing, do they? Ephesians 3, verse number 2, we did this one yesterday about no dispensation. They've eliminated the dispensation of the grace of God. They've made it an administration. Ephesians 3, verse 2, we looked at yesterday. 2 Timothy 2, and verse number 15, right? They took study out, and they made diligent. If you believe that the new Bibles are easier to read, you're foolishly thinking. If I tell you to study something, do you know what I mean? If I tell you to be diligent about something, now you have to go look up the word diligent because it has six different definitions. So then which one do I use? Okay? Now diligent and study do diligent. One of the definitions of diligent is study. But it's like number three in the list if I remember right. No, study. We looked at Galatians 2 verse number 7 yesterday about the changing the gospel of to the gospel to. I saw that one, right? Come over with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And verse 2 Peter 1 and verse number 21. Again, they don't say the same thing. 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Okay, first of all, what kind of men did God use to speak? The new Bibles take that word holy out. It's not there. So what kind of men were they?
Just regular Joes.
Yep. That's all they were. And that's a big problem. Okay? All right?
I didn't
speak. No, it was spoken from the back of the room. You don't need to worry about that. So who's missing? What kind of men wrote the book, folks? Holy men did. You have a thing that says Holy Bible? The new Bibles, you run that word holy, they take that word holy out. They don't say the same thing. Galatians 2, verse number 20. One of our favorite verses, is it not? Galatians 2:20. At our church, we talk about this verse about every Sunday about five or six times. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you live by faith in the Son, by faith in Jesus Christ? You can't. It's his faith, right? Romans chapter 3. By the way, where was the faith of Christ? Where was the faith of Christ placed? Okay, we see it demonstrated in Calvary, right? But what did he place his faith in? The Word of God, the Word of the Father. If you're you got Romans 3, right? Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. You just took the righteousness 3:22 of God, and it made you the one that's going to dictate how it performs. Because it's your faith in Him, not His faith, to go and perform the righteousness. How about you're in Romans? Go over to chapter 2 and verse 16. So do they say the same thing?
No.
No. And by the way, I'm only reading usually the NIV or the New American Standard Bible. The other three say the same thing, similar. They leave the same stuff out, and the New King James footnotes it all along the way. Why? Because one's on the Antioch side, your Bible, King James, and the other eight or other seven match what? The Alexander. My left, the Alexander Bible, right? Okay? Romans 2:16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. You see it? Well, what does the King James say? In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There's the standard. You know what they do to the standard? They move it up in the verse and they hide it. Let me read it again. On the day when God will judge secrets through Jesus Christ as my gospel declares. When God has Jesus Christ judge everyone's secret thoughts, just as my message says. What did they do to the standard? What's the standard? According to my gospel. What did they do to the standard? They hid it. On the day when God, according to my gospel, God will judge the They hide it. They're hiding. They got it all out of whack, don't they? Okay. All right, come over to Matthew 17. Do they say the same thing? That's my point. And I'm probably walking all over John's verses, but... Exactly. But it's easier to read.
Yeah, right.
It is easier to read because they don't have the these, the thous, the yous, and the yees. Exactly. Exactly. Matthew 17, verse number 21. You guys got it? These don't. Matthew 17:21 is totally gone. Howbeit this Matthew 17:21. Howbeit this kind goeth not only but by prayer and fasting. Every one of these Bibles, the NIV, it doesn't exist. It goes from 20 to 22. The New American Standard has it bracketed and footnoted that the early manuscripts do not contain this. And the other ones do the same thing. If they either skip it or they put it in brackets, bracket it and say it shouldn't be there. It's gone. Mark chapter number 9. Gone. So then guess what? Mark 9. Ouch. Mark 9. And we'll start at verse number 44. Mark 9:44. Somebody read Mark 9:44 when you get it.
Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched.
Okay, it's not there in the New Bibles. It's gone. How about verse 46? It's not there. It's gone. How about verse 48? Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It's gone. You know why it's gone? We don't want to offend anybody. We take hell, change it to Hades. We do what Satan did in the garden. Remember yesterday? What do? We water it down. We softened it. Matthew, that was Mark 9, 44, 46, 48. It's either completely removed from the text, or it's bracketed with the footnote that it shouldn't be there because the early manuscripts don't have it. Now remember who's the early manuscripts when they say that? Which side? Alexander side, right? Okay. Mark 16, Dad did this one last night. Mark 16. I'll just show you if you can see it, because I have it highlighted. I don't know if you can see this right here. Can you see that highlighted? That's the NIV, that big piece. They have a line across it. You see that? You guys see that? They have a line across it, and it says, the earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16:9-20. The New King James does the same thing, by the way. Except it's in the text, but they got a big footnote at the bottom of it. 16:9-20. Gone. Matthew 1, chapter 1. Am I using your verses, John? Okay. Okay, all right. Matthew 1:25. Are we doing okay? All right. You guys do you get the feeling? Feelings. All about feelings. Matthew 1:25. Matthew 1 verse number 25. But kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and he gave him the name Jesus. But she remained a virgin until her son was born and Joshua named him Jesus. First of all, what's missing?
Firstborn.
Did Joshua name him or did the Holy Ghost name him? But what's missing first off? The firstborn. Now, doesn't Mary have other children? Yeah, she does. Sister, he has brothers and sisters. But he's her what? Firstborn. It's gone. Just flat out gone. New King James footnotes it. By the way, the reason I keep saying that about the New King James is because what does a footnote mean? It could be there, it could not be there. You decide. So if I don't like the virgin birth issue, but I like my New King James because it keeps me in circles with the other King Jamers because we all get along because we love each other so. Okay? Then I can use mine and say, well, I decide off that footnote because I don't like the virgin birth. I think it's a myth. It's not a form of sound words. I think it's just a concept John was talking about yesterday. Okay? Then guess what I can do? I can still use a King James because I can decide for myself whether it belongs in there or not. Who'd become the final authority?
You did.
And that's danger, Will Robinson, danger. Okay? Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse number 13. Matthew 6:13. The Our Father prayer, the end of it here. You ready? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do not lead and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Is there some things missing?
For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever.
It's gone. What's gone? And the last part of that verse is gone. What's that last verse? What does the last part of that verse promote? His kingdom. More importantly, his glory. And his power. It's what? Gone. It's gone. Yes, it is. The New King James says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Footnote. The Nestle's Greek text, so the Alexandrian line, omits, for yours through, amen. Footnoted. But by the way, does it say evil one in the King James Bible?
No.
New King James says evil one. Which matches the NIV, which matches the NASB, which matches the New Living Translation. It's gone, folks. They don't say the same thing. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Oh, I went too far. Matthew 23. Ouch. Matthew 23, verse number 14. Matthew 23:14. Are you ready? It's gone.
What?
It's not there. Matthew 23:14 is gone. Now notice what it says. What does verse 14 say? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers through ye, therefore ye shall receive the grace. What's he talking about there? Hey, low money, low mass. High money, high mass. No money, no mass. You've heard that. Long prayers, devouring. What does the system do? The more you pray, the more we pray. The new Bibles do what? We don't like that one because it attacks us right out. You got Matthew 23. Look at 24. Do-si-do, here we go. Woo. Matthew 24. Hey, camp's wonderful. This morning at 5:30, a couple gentlemen decided to have a conversation outside my window. So, and they were not part of our group, or else they would have had a fan upside the head. But I, in grace, you know, laid there graciously thinking that, okay?
Only thinking.
Well, be ye angry and sin not, so I was okay. Matthew 24, notice verse number 36. Matthew 24, 36. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. What did they add in there? Well, they added in who? The Son.
So that means they're two different people.
Well, what does your verse say? But of the day and the hour knoweth no what? You know what they make the Son? They don't make Him the Son of Man. Who is Jesus Christ? The Son of Man. Who's He? In the context of that passage, by the way, who's talking about Himself in that no man issue? What do? They say He wasn't your kinsman redeemer. He's over here. Think about it. Matthew 27. Whoops. Okay. Matthew, 36. New American Standard Bible. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Doesn't say anything about man. So does that mean man knows? It does. Man could know. And that the Godhead doesn't know nothing, but man knows everything. Hello? Yes, He does. Yeah, my Father to the Father. I mean, that verse is loaded. Okay? Did Jesus Christ understand the signs and the times, by the way, and the days and the hour? To the degree that His Father had what? Told Him that through the Word. That verse is loaded. You think about that verse. Matthew 27. Get Matthew 27 and get Luke 22. Matthew 27 and Luke 22. And we got a Luke 22 and Matthew 27. Luke 22, Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 34 and 48, with Luke 22:18. Matthew 27:34 and 48 with Luke 22 verse number 18. Matthew 27:34. They gave Him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it He was unwilling to drink. What does that verse say that they gave the Lord to drink?
Wine.
Wine, right? Okay? Now your King James says what? Vinegar. All right. The NIV, therefore, there they offered Jesus wine to drink. Now come to Luke 22. The New Bibles say that they gave Him wine to drink. By the way, verse 48 says wine as well. Okay. But look at Luke 22:18 in your Bible. Okay. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. What's the fruit of the vine? Wait a minute. They gave Him wine to drink at Calvary. So then is the kingdom of God here? So then guess what we're doing? Bringing in the kingdom. They made Him a liar, by the way. Joe's right. So the question is, then is the kingdom here? Because He says, I'm not going to drink that until when? Until the kingdom is here. They got Him on Calvary being fed what?
Wine.
So then what does Calvary start? The kingdom. That He dies in the middle of the kingdom. Hello? McFly, is anybody home? Okay. Acts chapter number 8. I got to keep the back corner awake from time to time. Okay? No, I can get them with the McFlys. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 37. By the way, we're 26 in, okay? We only got 30 more to go. All right? Acts 8, verse 37. Acts 8, 37. You guys got it? I don't got it.
Where to be?
8, that's it. Now, what does Acts 38:37 say? And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ, what? Is the Son of God." The New Bibles take that out. The New King James footnotes it. So do a couple of the other guys. It's gone. What's gone? Salvation, but what else is gone? The declaration that Jesus Christ is who? The Son of God. Because it's not in the oldest manuscripts in that Alexandrian line. That's it. That's all. That's there, not there. The whole verse is gone. Yeah. Acts 21. You're in Acts. Acts 21. Acts 21. Acts 21. And verse number 40. Acts 21 and verse number 40. Acts 21, 40. 21:40, Acts 21:40. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic. Acts 21:40. Having received the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said unto them in Aramaic, "Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense." Is Aramaic and Hebrew the same thing?
No.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Enough said. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. You can figure Aram. That's that thing Dad was talking about last night called common sense. Common ain't got no more sense. 1 Corinthians 1 verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Being saved.
Being saved. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let me ask you something. Is the preaching of the cross foolishness? Not at all. That's the most important thing you can do. Now to the listener, okay. But that says, for the message of the cross is foolishness. But more importantly, let me ask you something. Are you being saved or are you saved? You know what the new Bibles are promoting? Brother John Calvin. That you're being saved. Why? They're sitting on this line, aren't they? Sitting right over here. Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15. Oh, yeah, you got to get this one. Get Romans 11 on your way to Romans 15. You got to see this one. This one just knocks your socks off. Romans 11. Okay, knocks your shoes off or your flip-flops or whatever you got on, okay? Well, you guys are a rough crowd today. Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 6. Somebody read that verse in the King James Bible.
And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work.
The NIV. And if by grace, then it is no longer works. If it were grace, would no longer be grace. The whole last part of that verse is missing. You know what it takes? It takes grace and works and puts them on the same level. Makes them equal to one another. What the... Where did it go? And there it is. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were grace, would no longer be grace. Messes with it. It just wouldn't be. Verse 7, what then? was Israel sought so earnestly, what Israel sought so earnestly it did not obtain, but the elect did. The others were hardened, as it was written. Were they hardened? They were blinded. Interesting. 15. Just a verse to think about. Okay? 15 verse 8. Romans 15 verse 8. Romans 15 verse 8. Now I say, alright, here we go. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promise given to the fathers. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God. Was he a servant or was he the minister? He was a minister, wasn't he? He wasn't a servant. He was a minister. He's a preacher. Barry, what was that reference you were talking about where they take him from a servant and they make him a slave? In the New King James?
Almost every place, I don't have all of it.
Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 17. Because we got to move along. Romans 6, 17. Romans 6, 17. Romans 6, 17. But thanks be to God that that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. That's the New American Standard Version. Here's the New King James. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? What does a slave denote? That you have what? No choice. But you finish reading Romans 6, and what do you learn you have? You have a choice. Right? No choice. It's gone. Okay, due to time, write these down. Ephesians 2, 11 to 13. Ephesians 2, 11 to 13. It kills right division. There's no time past. There's no but now. There's no ages to come. Those terms are removed. Okay? Get Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 11. Write down Colossians 2:18. We looked at this one yesterday. Have you seen an angel lately? Because that verse says you have. Revelation 1 and verse number 8. The beginning and the end are gone. They're removed. He was the beginning. I am the beginning and the end. It's gone. Romans 5 and verse 14. I'm sorry, Revelation 5 and verse 14. The number of the elders. How many number of the elders? Gone. Omitted. Revelation 20 and verse number 12 puts you before the throne of God at the great white throne judgment. You don't want to see that one? Yeah. Come over to Revelation. Revelation 20. If I can repeat those or you can see me later and I can get you the more, but get Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And verse number 12. Revelation 20, 12. But I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Standing before the throne. Standing before God's throne. Standing before the throne. Standing in front of the throne. Standing behind the throne. Before the throne. Now, is that what your book says? Okay, so what are the new Bibles, what are they doing? They're causing you to figure out whose throne are we standing in front of. Whose throne are we standing there in front of? Who's the judge? Who's sitting there making the judgment? We don't know in the new books. We do it in the King James. By the way, the New King James footnotes it and says it should read the throne. Okay? The throne. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11. And verse number 1. I love this one. This one. Now these we're going to just simply talk about the New King James. Okay? Because in my hometown, we battle the New King James more than we battle any of the other versions right now. Okay? Amongst grace believers, we battle the New King James version. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11:1. New King James. Imitate me just as I am also imitate Christ. Okay? Now, that is, translation-wise, a way to translate the Greek word. But by translating the Greek word that way, what did you just make you... What are you? You're imitating him. Now let me ask you something. Who is the great imitator in the Bible? Isaiah 14. Say, I don't want to be an imitation. I want to be a what? A follower. Okay? Ephesians 5 and verse number 1. Now that's in the New King James. By the way, the other Bibles all use imitators. They all use the word imitator along the way. The NIV says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Okay? If you are a New King James person, you've got to answer the verses. You don't have to answer me. You have to answer the verses. If you hold with a new Bible, you have to answer the verses. You're accountable before God Almighty about the verses. Not me. I'm just reading verses. That's why I said yesterday in Romans there, what did I tell you? Ephesians 5, verse 1. Okay? That's why I told you yesterday, every man's fully persuaded in his own mind. Okay? You have to answer to God about the verses that you're using. You have to. He's going to hold you accountable one day for that. The New King James proponents say it matches with the Textus Receptus. That's baloney. It's hogwash. It's a lie of the devil. It really is. Because it doesn't. Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of God, I read the NIV. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Again, you're an imitator. You're an imitator. 1 Corinthians 1. Just run these verses here with me. Again, I just tried to pick some stuff about the New King James that it just scratches your head, honestly. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Great verse, isn't it? Wonderful verse. Powerful verse. The preaching of the cross. The New King James. For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Where does the New King James line up in camp? You're being saved. You're not saved. You're being saved. And the message you're preaching is a bunch of foolishness. So which is it? Are you saved or are you being saved? You're saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. By the way, folks, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these verses. And I'm only giving you a few. 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 15. 2 Corinthians 2:15. Who are to God the Father? I'm sorry. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. New King James. You're being saved. I is saved. I'm saved. No, you're being saved. So which is it? Figure it out. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse number 8. How many of us can quote that one? Everybody's hands went up, right? Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved. You've been saved? Or are you saved? You know what the been saved thing is, don't you? It's Calvinism. It is before the foundation of the world, God has chosen those who are His elect. My dear friend, if you're a Calvinist and you believe, if you believe that election is salvation, you make the Lord Jesus Christ the sinner, according to Isaiah 45. Because in Isaiah, he says what? Behold mine elect. If election in your Bible is salvation or in your theology is salvation, you make the Lord Jesus Christ a sinner because he is God's elect. Because in the election, when people say, well, then if God knew all this, then why did he die? He died for who? The elect. Well, if he says he's my elect and he's dying for the elect, then who? What is he? He's a sinner. Election in your Bible doesn't mean salvation. It means what? Service. Work. Getting the job done. That's why in the rest of that verse in Isaiah 45 there, he says, "Behold my servant." Anyway, quiet in the room. Colossians chapter 3. I would hope not. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3:17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him." Through Him? There you go. Philippians 4, verse number 20. Philippians 4, 20. By the way, in Colossians 3, 17, they omit some of the Trinity there too, by the way. Okay? Here's a Trinity verse. Philippians 4, 20. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. What is it? Now unto God and our Father be glory forever. Messing with the Trinity. The New King James, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Similar, aren't they? Yeah, real close. Okay? But not the same. All right, come over with me. Does that say five till? All right. Are you guys doing okay? Got time for a few more? Just a few more. John 14. John 14. Hopefully I haven't used any of John's verses. Was this just the one? Huh? Yeah, did you guys hear John? John's got a list too he's going to go over with you, and I've only hit one of his on his list. That's how many there are. John 14, verse 16. John 14, 16. "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." Is the Holy Spirit a helper, or is He the comforter? Okay, verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you." Chapter 15 of John. 15:26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you." Let me ask you something. Did the prophet say that a Helper was going to come, or the Comforter was going to come? Okay? Your New King James says he's a Helper. He's not a Helper, he's a Comforter. Why is he a Comforter? They need comfort, but he's also going to come along and teach them some things from the Word of God. And where do you get your comfort from? The Word of God. Okay. Write down John 16, verse number 7, because they do it there as well. And then come over to Hebrews chapter number 3. And this will be our last one. John 16, verse 7, he's not the comforter, he's the helper. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3. I was just looking here. Hebrews chapter number 3.
All three of you then have talked about God's Word being settled forever in heaven.
Yes.
Wouldn't just the fact that there is a footnote mean it isn't settled?
Exactly. Yeah, the footnotes are just as dangerous as if it wasn't in the passage at all, because it denotes that exactly. Okay, Hebrews 3 and verse number 16. You got Hebrews 3:16, right? All right, Hebrews 3:16. "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses?" Let me ask you something. Did all the people come led by Moses, did they rebel?
No, just some of them.
There was 12 spies that went in, right? 10 said, "No way." 2, Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do it." That verse in the New King James Bible is a lie. This is a New King James Bible. We don't have time to run it, but you write down Deuteronomy 1, Numbers 14. You go back and study Joshua and Caleb in a New King James Bible, right here in their Old Testament, in Numbers 14, it will say that Joshua and Caleb were the two guys that stood with Moses. So Numbers 14 in their own text contradicts and says that Hebrews 3:16 is a lie, right in their own book. Right there. Between those two things. Follow that? Do they say the same thing? Why don't they? Two different text lines. I would. Write down Acts 17, verse 29. Acts 17, 29, it attacks the divine nature of the Godhead. Colossians 1, verse number 15. Ask yourself, which is he? Acts 3, verse 13 and 26. Is he a servant or is he the son? Acts 3, 13 and 26. Is he a servant or is he the son? Write down Acts 4, verse 27 and verse 30. Is he a servant or is he a child? And then write down 2 Thessalonians. Actually, we can look at that one. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 5. And we'll close with this one, unless you want me to look at those other ones with you. We can look at them if you like. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 5, the New King James says, "Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." What's he waiting for? What's he waiting? He's sitting up there on the right hand of God the Father. What's he waiting for? Okay. So as you can see, verse with verse, they don't say the same things. Now why, real quickly, why is all this important? Well, get two verses real quick. Get Nehemiah 9 and Psalms 138. Dad did this last night. I'm going to remind you here again real quickly. Nehemiah 9 verse 5 and Psalms 138. Why is all this important? Why, Rick, do you stand up there, you know, you guys fight and kick and moan and do all this stuff? Why? Well, Nehemiah 9 and verse number 5. Write it down. It's important. It's critical. 9:5. Now, we'll get through all the names, so get about in the middle of the verse, okay? Because I ain't good with all the names. All right. Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Nehemiah 9 verse 5, middle of the verse. "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." What did he do with his name? Exalted it, right? Now look at Psalms 138 and verse number 1 and 2, which is where Dad was at last night. Psalms 138, 1, "I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word," what? "Above." No. Don't read it so fast. "Above all thy name." He exalted him above all praise and blessing. He takes his word up there. That's why this is important. You know why it's important? Psalms chapter number 19, you can just write it down and look at it. Verse 7 through 10, the Word of God is designed to produce something in the lives of mankind. Now listen to me. Some of you guys get the mumbling and you don't hear me, and then you come up and ask me questions later and I want you to hear me. The Word of God is designed to produce something in the life of mankind as a whole. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 19 says that the law made the whole world what? Guilty. That's what it does to the unsaved man. It says you're guilty. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, "The word of God effectually worketh in you that what? Believes." What does it produce in the life of a believer? Life. Everything. That's why this is so important. It isn't to say I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and maybe I'm wrong. It isn't to know a bunch of Alpha A, Alpha B, Vatican C, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's to know that you have the Word of God, the pure words of God, in a book preserved through the multiplicity of copies, and you have it in your lap today in your language, the English language, in the King James Bible.
Amen.
That's why this is... So do they all say the same thing? Not at all. Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You that we have Your Word. And Lord, above all, we just thank You for Your Son, that He died at Calvary, and that's where everything we have rests, is in His work and not ours. And we'll just give You the praise and the glory. Amen.